There have been many great archaeological discoveries in the world. I can't think of one of them right now, but I know there have been many, but the greatest of all is the unearthing of Martin Zender, Dan Sheridan. We are back. Sorry, folks, we've been gone for a while, but put away those things which are behind and look forward to those things which are ahead. Right, Dan?
Yeah, I hope so, boy. It has been a trialsome 2.5-3 weeks for me, boy. We didn't really have Christmas, that's for sure.
Yeah, Christmas was kind of also known as December 25th this year, you know? I know what you mean.
Yeah, there was no Christmas for us. You know, we got 10 people in our house. 8 of them had the flu, a bad case of the flu. We didn't leave the house for days and other trials on top of that. But it's been a very interesting couple weeks, so.
Yeah, you got 10 people in your house continuously. I was telling somebody yesterday we had 17 sleeping here over New Year's Eve. We've had like 12 people, 13 people here for a couple weeks, and it's a house full. People ask me, do you ever get tired of that, Martin? Do you ever want to slip away and be by yourself? I say, no. No, I don't. I love it. I love other human beings. I didn't used to. I used to hate all humans, but now I love them all.
Just wasn't quite all human.
Yeah, I say, yeah, life would be great if it just weren't for other people, you know?
I know what you mean.
But no, I don't feel that way anymore, and I was never that extreme, obviously, but I do love people, and I love you, Dan, and I wish you a happy new year.
And you too, my friend. And I love you too, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. It's music to my ears.
So what are we talking about today?
I want to talk about the soul. A lot of people think that the soul is the highest spiritual faculty we have. It's like, oh, your soul. Oh, you know, it's just the seat of the sensations. And there's an amazing verse in James 3:15. He puts the word soul in between the terrestrial and the demoniacal. In James 3:15, he says we have that's terrestrial, soulish, demoniacal. I mean, the fact that this word soulish is put in between these two other words, terrestrial and demoniacal, tells you that maybe the soul isn't the great seat of spirituality that we thought it was. In fact, it's the opposite of spirituality in the scriptures.
It's funny you put it that way. Just as soon as you mentioned that, I know that's how the Concordant Version reads. I'm looking at my King James here. Thank God there's a companion Bible marginal note to fix it. But here it how it reads in the King James. In James 3:15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And and they change the idea that you have the word earthly, and then it's the word sensual here in the margin is soulish.
There you go. Concordant puts that word in the text.
Yeah. So it's been hidden in translations that this soulish is not the highest seat of, you know, communications with God, as some put it, you know.
Yeah, in fact, it's the thing that perceives all of the earthly and demoniacal things. It also perceives good things. I mean, the soul, I guess we could say it's neutral in a sense. It can be influenced toward spiritual things or toward earthly things.
Right.
And it's Jesus speaks of saving the soul. He speaks of the soul enjoying the things of the coming kingdom. So it's neutral. It's like a receiver. It can either be receiving, you know, evil broadcasts, for instance, you know, country western station or something, or it can be tuned into a classic rock station and be getting Led Zeppelin, which.
No, I think you got that confused.
Okay.
The Lord Jesus in that one passage says something that has been that I missed for years because of bad translations. But the soul is connected with food and raiment. The soul is.
Yeah, and the blood too. But go ahead and expand on that. You got
well.
Something
my
else on
my point being is, you know, we've had this idea that, you know, again, I think we brought this up before. We were taught, I was taught by, in many instances, that the soul almost looked like a human body. It was like a ghost if you threw a sheet over it, you know. and that it was the area where you communicate with God, and it's what distinguishes us from the animals. And none of that is true. Soulish, like you said, it's a neutral realm. Preserving their souls, referring to the believers in Israel. And what the Lord's point was in that passage was, believers who lost their soul, especially, you know, these Jewish believers in the kingdom age, will receive it again in resurrection. So what was the Lord saying? Well, you may suffer now. That's where the soul, that's what you feel, the suffering here in your body, your flesh and blood body. But in the resurrection, your senses are going to be heightened and filled with joy. They won't be marred by, you know, sin and stuff like that. And so that's what our Lord meant when he said losing your soul and gaining your soul. But those who didn't lose their soul, well, what were they doing, these people? Well, they were enjoying everything now. They were taking the shortcut. They were avoiding the suffering. And because of that, they got all their enjoyment in this life, in this time period. And they will not have that enjoyment in the coming eon. And that was the Lord's point.
Yes, it's like they sold their inheritance like Esau did. He sold his spiritual inheritance for a bowl of Hormel's chili. It was ridiculous, but that he was ruled by his soul. His earthly hunger was so overwhelming that it overwhelmed any kind of spiritual sensitivity he had, and he threw away the most valuable thing he had for something that was going to last him 10 minutes. Yeah, and
that's
it's
a
so
sad
simple.
Thing, and that's what the book of Hebrews warns us about, is that don't be like Esau, who for one meal sold his birthright. And that's the point of Hebrews. And the Hebrews, there were two options in Hebrews, if you look at it. I think it's one of the most misinterpreted books in all of Scripture. But the Apostle Paul, I'm convinced, wrote Hebrews, and he's giving two believers, like Joshua, and you go into the promised land, or you be like Esau, who drew back. You either go on to full growth and maturity and suffer with Christ now, or you draw back to, in this Concordant version, I believe it says destruction. In the King James, it says perdition. But it's the word to me, the Greek word for perdition is, the Greek elements are from whole loose. In other words, to be loosed from a whole condition. They're not enjoying all that God wants for them, intends for them, like Esau, selling your coming inheritance.
Yeah, and people would mock Esau. They said, how can you be so stupid as to sell your inheritance for a bowl of soup or a bowl of chili? And other people today are doing that constantly. They're constantly, they don't see this infatuation with popular culture. They don't of the rot of popular culture. They don't see what that does. They don't see how that keeps them from going on in Christ or from receiving the things which are of the Spirit of God. And I like how you put that, or how the writer of Hebrews puts it. I just relate you to the writer of Hebrews, Bruce. You're so profound. This black and white, either go on or hold back. There's no middle ground with God. And it's, remember, Revelation. I wish you were either hot or cold, but since you're neither, since you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. And this middle ground is really, it's sickening. And I think we see God's opinion of it. Not that we're not saved by grace, but we're exhorted to embrace those things which are ahead. And
you see, Paul uses that phrase, losing his soul. He uses a very similar phrase.
Oh yeah, where?
If you turn, and this is a fascinating passage. It's found in Acts chapter 20, and it's the Apostle Paul gathering the elders.
Together. Mm-hmm.
And he says, and he describes his past ministry. Do we have time to go over this passage? Because I think it's helpful.
Let's introduce it anyway. We got about 3 minutes, Dan. That's
all right.
It.
Yeah. That clock is a taskmaster, I'm telling you.
It is. It is.
Well, in Acts chapter 20, I think it's well worth looking into. And it starts with verse 17, where Paul is at Miletus, and he sends her to Ephesus and called the elders of the ecclesia together. And when they were come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind," and notice this, "with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And I had how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and house to house, testifying all the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." And I think we'll stop there, because the rest of this message, he discusses this idea about the soul and how Paul is going to tell us what he thinks about it in view of his message and the coming glory that's awaiting for us in the future.
Amen. Folks, what keeps us connected with God is the Spirit of God. And we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, that Spirit makes its home in us. And it is the Spirit that communicates with God. And it's the Spirit that convinces us that we're children of God. If you rely on your soul for that, you won't get it, because the soul can only perceive the things around you. We are being given a spiritual sensitivity, and it comes from the Spirit within us. And if you have that Spirit, thank God for it. We're going to look in this passage. We're going to go back to the beach here in Miletus in Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to take Dan Sheridan along with you, and maybe we'll bring a picnic basket. See you tomorrow, Dan.
All right. See you then. Looking forward to it.